I, Walt Whitman, heard that you asked for something to prove this puzzle, the new world, and to define America, her athletic democracy. Therefore, I send you my poems that you behold in them.
Hello, and welcome to another Naxos podcast featuring music by Bernard Herrmann, as played by Washington, D.C.'s Post-Classical Ensemble, all under the leadership of Executive Director Joe Horowitz and Conductor Angel Gil Ordóñez. In a minute, I'll have an interview with Joe Horowitz about the music of Bernard Herrmann, but first, here's a bit more of the radio play, Whitman.
You, whoever you are, you, daughter or son of England, you of the mighty Slavic tribes, you dim-descended, black, divine-souled African, you Norwegian, Swede, Dane, Icelander, you Roman, Neapolitan, you Greek, you of China, you foot-warm pilgrim welcoming the faraway sparkle of the minarets of Mecca.
For some of our listeners, the question, first question is, who is Bernard Herrmann and what is he best known for?
So probably all of our listeners know Bernard Herrmann, but mainly without knowing it, because Bernard Herrmann was the supreme Hollywood composer of his generation. Think of your favorite Hitchcock film, and most likely it's not only scored by Bernard Herrmann, but unthinkable without the music of Bernard Herrmann. Whether it's Vertigo or Psycho or North by Northwest. He also scored Citizen Kane. He scored over 50 films.
What other things should he be known for? Because I knew him, until you started talking about all these other things, I knew him mostly as just a film composer. So what are we missing?
Well, your knowledge of him is, of course, typical. And no one more regretted that than Bernard Herrmann himself. He was a very irascible and charismatic fellow, and it infuriated him that he was stigmatized as a, quote, Hollywood composer, A, because he had a very high regard for film music when it was well composed, and B, because he knew himself to be a concert composer of consequence. I find his concert works as impressive as those of just about any American composer I can think of his generation. And the one that impresses me the most is his clarinet quintet, which happens to be my favorite chamber music by any American composer. He also has a big symphony. He has a big cantata, Moby Dick. He has an opera, Wuthering Heights. He has a string quartet. He has a sinfonietta for strings. And then thirdly, he was the most important composer for radio drama. And of course, we've forgotten that because we've forgotten radio drama. But radio drama was known to all Americans in the 30s and 40s. Radio was the first instant mass medium. The radio dramas of Corwin would be listened to by as many as 60 million Americans, nearly half the American population, which tells us that in its day, radio was more ubiquitous and more influential than any subsequent mass medium, even more than television. Imagine an audience of 60 million people.
I believe a leaf of grass is no less than the journey work of the stars, and the pismire is equally perfect, and a grain of sand, and the egg of the wren, and the running blackberry would adorn the parlors of heaven. And the narrowest hinge in my hand puts to scorn all machinery, and the cow crunching with depressed head surpasses any statue. And a mouse is miracle enough to stagger sextillions of infidels.
A lot of miracles.
Whether I walk the streets of Manhattan or wade with naked feet along the beach just in the edge of the water, or stand under trees in the woods, or talk by day with anyone I love, or sleep in the bed.
A radio play draws on different aspects of one's imagination, being an audio-only presentation.
Yeah, it's a genre unto itself, and at the same time, you can see that it was a schoolroom for Herman, the film composer. He honed his craft, learning how to use music to set a mood or to accompany the spoken word, composing for radio beginning in his early 20s. Another thing you need to know about radio drama is that it was a crucial component of the home front during World War II. It rallied the patriotic cause. And when we're talking about World War II, we're talking about Franklin Delano Roosevelt, who was a master of the radio medium. Every American listened to his fireside chats. And almost as many Americans listened to Norman Corwin's radio dramas. They weren't washing the dishes. They weren't talking. They weren't reading books. They weren't taking a bath. They weren't looking at their cell phones. They were sitting around the radio, and just like they used to sit around the fire and read poetry, they would sit around the radio and listen to Norman Corwin's radio dramas.
Flaunt out, O sea, your separate flags of nations. Flaunt out the various ship signals, but reserve especially for yourself and for the soul of man one flag above the rest, a spiritual woven signal for all nations, emblem of man elate above death, token of all brave captains and all intrepid sailors and mates, and all that went down doing their duty, reminiscent of them, a pennant universal, subtly waving all the time, o'er all brave sailors, all seas, all ships.
Now this new album, it features a wonderful radio drama about Walt Whitman. When did you first hear of this piece? Where did you discover it?
I became aware of Herman, of course, through his film music, which seemed to me a very, very high creative achievement. And I can't remember precisely when I stumbled into the clarinet quintet, but that was a eureka moment for me, because the clarinet quintet deserves to be in the clarinet repertoire for a chamber ensemble alongside the Brahms quintet and the Mozart quintet. It's that good. So this for me was a mind-boggling discovery. And as a result, I was very eager to do a Herman Festival in DC, where Post-Classical Ensemble is headquartered. In 2016, we did a month-long Bernard Herman Festival in collaboration with the National Gallery of Art and the American Film Institute, in which many films were screened. A lot of the music was played. It was obvious to us that we should do something with these radio dramas. I had no idea, none of us did, what impact Whitman would have in live performance. And when we performed this thing live, it was a revelation. We didn't realize the magnitude of what we had discovered. And my immediate reaction, and so was it Angel's reaction, who conducted Angel Gilardonius, is this piece can live. This is a viable concert work that can be performed in live performance by orchestras. It calls for a narrator, strings, percussion, and piano.
Listener out there, I stay only a minute longer. the past and present wilt. I have filled them, emptied them, and proceed to fill my next fold of the future. Poets to come, orators, singers, musicians to come. Not today is to justify me and answer what I am for, but you, a new brood, native, athletic, continental, greater than before known. Arouse, for you must justify me. I myself but write one or two indicative words for the future, but I advance...
This piece, the Whitman, what kind of resonance do you think it has in today's world?
Well, that's a leading question if I ever heard one. You could answer it yourself if you just reflect that Walt Whitman celebrated democracy in the terms that we emphasize today, inclusivity and diversity. And he also emphasized the responsiveness, the ostensible responsiveness of the government to the individual. So he's trotting out an ideal of the American state, which spoke to people during the war, 1944, when the president was Franklin Delano Roosevelt. And today we're fighting another war. It's the pandemic, and the president is Donald Trump. So you listen to Whitman today, and you can answer that question for yourself.
I see not America only, not only Liberty's nation, but other nations preparing. I see tremendous entrances and exits, new combinations, the solidarity of races. I see that force advancing with irresistible power on the world stage. I see freedom completely armed and victorious and very haughty, with law on one side and peace on the other, a stupendous trio, all issuing forth against the idea of caste. What historic denouements are these we so rapidly approach? I see men marching and countermarching by swift millions. I see the frontiers and boundaries of the old aristocracies broken. I see the landmarks of European kings removed. Never were such sharp questions asked as this day. Never was average man, his soul more energetic, more like a god. His daring foot is on land and sea everywhere. He colonizes the Pacific, the archipelagos, with the steamship, the electric telegraph, the newspaper, and the wholesale engines of war. With these and the world-spreading factories, he interlinks all geography, all lands.
So as I mentioned, or perhaps didn't state, our 2016 month-long Herman Festival was the first ever attempt to present Herman in the round. Instead of Herman the film composer, it was Herman the film composer, Herman the concert composer, Herman the radio composer. And we also spent some time considering Herman the conductor, which is an interesting topic in itself. So this CD is a microcosm of that festival. It samples Herman, the concert composer, it samples Herman, the radio composer, and it samples Herman, the film composer. And if you listen to those 70 minutes, you come away with a picture of Bernard Herman that's damned impressive. You cannot ignore Bernard Herman as a participant in the American musical experience after you experience this CD, in my opinion. Because all three of these are peak achievements. The Clarinet Quintet, as I said, it's my favorite work for chamber ensemble by any American composer. The radio play is a masterpiece of its genre. And in the case of Psycho, we're doing two things. We're sampling the music for a famous film that's really made by its music. And we're also presenting Herman's own symphonic synthesis, which is very, very little known. If you go to a concert and hear the psycho music, almost invariably what you're hearing is a psycho suite cobbled together from cues in the film by someone other than Bernard Herrmann. It's very little known that he created his own symphonic narrative, which is not that. It's an integrated composition. He composed it in 1960. The score was lost, so it took John Malcheri, the conductor, to using the parts and using the recording that Herrmann made to reconstitute the score. And now, if you're an orchestra and you want to play Psycho, this is what you should play, even though orchestras will continue to perform the Psycho suite. Simon Rattle opened his Berlin Philharmonic season a few years ago with the Psycho narrative. And it's the Psycho narrative that's on our CD.
Been listening to music by Bernard Herrmann, performances by the Post-Classical Ensemble conducted by Ángel Gil Ordóñez, and an interview with Joe Horowitz. The soloists in the Whitman radio drama were William Sharp as Whitman, Murray Horowitz as the stranger, and Anna Sophia Nicely as the child. The album includes the radio play Whitman, as reconstructed by Christopher Husted, and also includes Psycho, Narrative for String Orchestra, and Souvenir de Voyage for Clarinet and Strings. Naxos catalog number 8.559883. That's it for this podcast. To go out, here's a bit of the Souvenir de Voyage. I'm Raymond Bechet. Until next time, so long for now.